Trading for Chris Paul, more Gordon Hayward fake trades, and I will save a marriage on a Mailbag Friday. Millie, let's go. Rainy days back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hi there, John Corrales here from MassLive.com. I am their Boston Celtics beat reporter and your host of this here podcast that runs Monday through Friday. So if you're subscribing to this show, you're getting it daily during your work week. If you're new, that's the deal. Monday through Friday podcast. Still throughout this postseason, this offseason, still going strong. So please subscribe if you would. I would really appreciate that. Today on the podcast, it's a Mailbag Friday. I ask for your emails at jcorrales@masslive.com, and I put up my answers on masslive.com and here on the podcast every Friday. So generally speaking, I get probably a dozen and a half to two dozen questions. So that's a lot of questions, a lot of answers. And so I split it up. You get a bunch of answers on masslive.com. You get the rest of them here on the podcast. So if you submitted them to me and you don't hear your answer on the podcast, the answer is on masslive.com. So you have to go read it there. I'm sorry. That's how it goes. I can't do all of them in one place. It's just too much for both. So I split it up. In this one, segment one, I get some questions about trading Kemba. In the first segment, in segment two, some Gordon Hayward fake trades. Segment three, some more personal stuff. My favorite jersey, and I'll save a marriage, like I said before. That's coming up. So let's dive into the first question. It comes from Emil M. It's kind of a long one, so I'll just kind of paraphrase, but it has to deal with trading Kemba for Chris Paul. He says, quote, "My belief is Chris Paul is perfect for the 2Js and the veteran-type player we can win a championship with. His offense is a facilitating one, and he can score. Kemba can score and facilitate as a secondary, but not as strong as Chris Paul's ability to score as a secondary. Plus, Chris Paul has one guaranteed year at $41 million and an option year at $44 million, so he theoretically could be a one-year deal." So let me just say right off the top, he is not theoretically going to be a one-year deal. He is a two-year deal, and a two-year deal at a combined, what's that, $85 million. That's going to be the number one reason why this won't happen. Because trading Kemba to OKC for Chris Paul, I don't know if that's exactly the move that they want to make over in OKC. I can see them, they're obviously shopping Chris Paul, and obviously a win now team is going to be looking for Chris Paul. I think the Celtics, and I was on the Genotime podcast with my partner on Mass Live, Tom Westerholm, and Nicole Yang of The Globe. And we did a kind of either or. And one of the questions was 1 year of Kemba versus 1 year of Chris Paul. No contracts, no nothing. You're just picking 1 year of one of those guys. And I picked the 1 year of Chris Paul. And Emil is right. Chris Paul is kind of perfect for Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. He has that level of knowledge that they need. And I said it on that podcast, I'll say it on this one. This I would say it's worth the $41 million almost to just crack the heads open of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and to pour the knowledge that Chris Paul has into their heads. However, it's not just going to work that way. He's older, he has had injury problems in the past. He felt better this past season. That's great. But you're really running into the possibility of that not working moving forward. It was a good year for him. But at this money, at his age, what the Celtics are trying to do, the Celtics' financial situation, trading Kemba Walker for Chris Paul, I just don't see them working out a deal that makes sense. Kemba is going to make $34 million next season. He's on the books for $34 million. Chris Paul is on the books for $41 million. I think they fall into the matching range at that point. If not, it's close. But what does OKC want? They're going to probably want some other assets. And I don't know if Boston's going to give up. What can Boston give up that entices OKC? Are they going to attach Romeo Langford? That's not going to happen. Not for Chris Paul. They're not so desperate to win now that they're going to make that move. So I agree that Chris Paul in a vacuum, in a one-year setting with no financial ramifications, he does make sense. I totally see it. Trading away Kemba for Chris Paul, I don't think that the Thunder are going to want to take his contract for 3 years. I don't think that the Celtics are going to want to have 2 years of Chris Paul on their books, because next year when he makes $44 million, think about, you're adding $10 million to next year's payroll. So you're going to have Jason Tatum in year one of his extension, which is going to be probably in the $30 million range. Jaylen Brown in the almost $25.8 million range. So that alone, so you're talking about 44 plus, let's say 30 just to round it up. So that's 74 plus Jaylen Brown. So that's that's over $100 million for three guys. That's just not feasible. It's not feasible. You throw in Marcus Smart's $14 million. You throw in some other team options. You got to build around those guys. That gets real expensive. And when you factor in the luxury tax, that $10 million difference between Kemba and Chris Paul becomes exponentially bigger. It depends on what the overall salary cap is going to be. So that's at that money, I'm sorry, it's not something that's going to work for the Boston Celtics. Barry has a comment here. First of all, thanks to Barry for the compliments. Thanks to Emil for the compliments, who Emil said, first of all, that his wife and he get a kick out of he gets to banter along with me in the podcast. So apparently while they're driving, he just kind of talks to the car. So consider me kind of like a Knight Rider, just a nerdy kind of basketball nerdy Knight Rider. Anybody that's my age knows that reference. Any of you kids probably don't know that reference, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry, you're missing out. Anyway, back to Barry, who says on the most recent podcast regarding a possible start date for 2021, you left out perhaps the most significant reason for an early start, as early a start as possible. The TV ratings were terrible in August and September. I was a bit surprised by the low ratings, but definitely a factor impacting future revenue. Sure, ratings were down. Ratings were down. I forget what the number is. I don't have it in front of me, but it's like 34-ish%, somewhere between 35 and 40% in that range. That was about what sports ratings have been down in general. So across the board, you know, college football, Major League Baseball, horse racing, golf, tennis, they're all down somewhere in that 30 to 40% range. People are just not consuming sports right now. I don't know what the NFL ratings are. Those probably buck the trend a little bit, but I still think they're probably down, and down a fair amount. Maybe not 30 to 40%, but I don't know. I haven't checked. Ratings are down in general because I don't think people are consuming sports at the moment. I think they're consuming COVID coverage. I think they're consuming political coverage. I think they're consuming a lot of stuff. There's a lot of very serious stuff going on in the world right now, and I think people are pushing sports to the wayside. So yes, that is certainly a thing. And NBA ratings have dropped a bit in general anyway. However, And I referenced this in a recent podcast. We were talking to Tom Westerholm, I think it was. The overall digital numbers for the NBA are great. They had a record number. It was like 7 billion or some crazy number of video views across all platforms. And the digital numbers are great. Whenever Adam Silver talks about ratings, he includes this and he makes sure that you know that, yeah, ratings are down, but we have to figure out how to incorporate this online stuff. People are watching via Twitter, Facebook to some degree, Instagram, YouTube. There are a bunch of ways that people are consuming digital content, and that's just the legal stuff. Never mind your illegal streams that are all over the place that people watch. That all factors in. So the ratings are down, and that is the most important thing because it's the TV package that makes this, you know, that makes the NBA the most money. What they need to figure out is how to monetize all of the online streaming stuff. So I think, yeah, getting that early start, and part of why they were pushing for December 22nd is that Disney and ESPN wanted that December, that Christmas Day game. I think there's a lot of that involved for sure. And basketball owns a certain part of the schedule. And when things go back to normal, hopefully the ratings can stabilize. But I still think that it's more important for the NBA to figure out how to monetize the online stuff before it worries too much about the ratings in general, because with the shift in viewership habits, I don't want the NBA to cling to an old model of how to measure what people are watching, how much people are watching, when they're watching. Because people watch on demand, they watch in little bits and pieces, they watch online, they don't watch according to any sort of schedule. Live sports, definitely a little bit different because we all want to watch when the games are live, but it's different. And so I think the NBA needs to embrace how different things are and monetize that. That's where this lies. And so I don't think the starting the season in December as a way to stabilize ratings is the most important thing, but it is certainly a factor. So Barry does make a good point. Going to come back with trade ideas, including Spencer Dinwiddie in Boston. Gordon Hayward trade ideas are next. Now, this is a part of the day where you're probably sitting there thinking, how can I get through this wall? Are you listening at lunch? Are you listening at work, trying to get through that blah part of your day? I've been there, man. I have been there. It's just that mid-afternoon kind of blah. It's a wall you need to break through. I've also been up against that wall after I've gone to work, and you want to get to the gym after work, and you're just like, I don't have it. So whether it's a mental wall, a physical wall, you can break through it with Built Go. It is the solution for breaking through that wall. It comes from the people who make Built Bars, which I love. Okay, I've talked to you about Built Bars. They've sent me this Built Go. It's an energy gel. It's one of those little packages, this little ounce and a half packages that you see maybe cyclists will use. A lot of athletes are using these packages, these kind of gels. And basically, Built Go is like a 5-hour energy gel without the same crash. So it's natural. It's better for your body. It's really the best workout gel on the market. You can put it in your pocket. You can pop it whenever you want. You can just eat it just directly out of the package. You can put it in your golf bag or your gym bag. You put it in your briefcase. No problems. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. The flavors are peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, chocolate mint. I mean, delicious, right? Built Go combines the energy gel with collagen protein. It's fast absorbing, so it gets into your system real fast. It's loaded with good stuff like beta-alanine, B3, honey, and a kick of caffeine to kick out your to ignite your workout. And it has a kick to keep you going, B6, B12 vitamins, and the collagen promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. So this stuff literally makes you look better. Go to BuiltGo.com, use the promo code LOCKED. You'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. Back continuing the mailbag here. A reminder, I'm off next week. I'm on vacation. So no Mass Live stuff for me next week. So any mailbag questions will either be postponed a week, or I will do a mailbag podcast next week on Friday. I'll still do the podcast, but I'm on vacation for Mass Live. So you can still email me, jcorrales@masslive.com. Okay, Mitchell's going to get us into the fake trade portion, a couple of fake trades here. He says, I don't think I've heard any talk about Boston having interest in Dinwiddie, Spencer Dinwiddie from Brooklyn Nets, but I think they should explore the idea. I'm sure Brooklyn won't be in a rush to move him, but if Boston was to offer the 26th, 30th pick this year, a future first, along with the player, I think Brooklyn might be interested. He also includes a trade scenario, and this includes Gordon Hayward going to the Pacers. So Pacers get Hayward and Cantor. Celtics get Miles Turner, Doug McDermott, and Spencer Dinwiddie. The Nets get Jeremy Lamb and three first-round picks plus a second-round pick via Brooklyn. I'll just say this, just at the beginning. The Celtics and the Brooklyn Nets are not going to help each other. They're both competing for the top of the division. That there's a tiebreaker there. They're competing for playoff positioning. Neither is going to make a trade with each other that's going to help the other. The Nets aren't going to do this trade, I don't think, because they're just not going to give Spencer Dinwiddie away for not much. And Jeremy Lamb, okay, is good, but I don't think that they're just going to give him away and not expect more in return. The Brooklyn Nets are in a win-now mode. So when constructing these fake trades, consider who you're trading with. I know that, yes, in a vacuum, Spencer Dinwiddie would be good for the Boston Celtics. He's a good basketball player, I think. And so adding a good basketball player would be good for the Boston Celtics. But a trade with a division opponent that is... This isn't like when Danny Ainge traded Paul Pierce and Garnett over to Brooklyn and the Celtics were blowing it up. And he didn't care how good Brooklyn was going to be in the short term because the Celtics were going to be bad in the short term. That's fine. That's different. When two teams in the same division, even the same conference, are good and jockeying for position, they are not going to do a trade with one another. So I'm sorry, but Spencer Dinwiddie's not going to come to Boston unless for some reason he becomes a free agent. That's not going to happen. Ted L., a nice reminder from Ted L., it looks like the online trade machines are acting a little weird. Yes, they are, Ted, because a lot of them haven't reset with new salary numbers. So when you all are going out there and trying these trades, consider the possibility that the trade that works in one is not necessarily legal. And that's going to make it difficult because there are salary matching rules and all of that. But Ted also has a trade idea that also involves Gordon Hayward going to the Pacers. It's a very popular trade idea. Hayward to the Pacers for TJ Warren and Doug McDermott. It works in three online trade machines, even though it has the C's taking back only $19.3 million for a hefty savings of $15 million in salary. B-Rob, Brian Robb, who works for Boston Sports Journal, love B-Rob, says the C's would need to take back a lot more salary if in a Hayward trade to the Pacers over $27 million. So yes, in this trade scenario, McDermott and Warren for Hayward does not necessarily... I don't think work, but TJ Warren is not going anywhere. It's another scenario here. What are the Indiana Pacers trying to do? When you're constructing these fake trades, and this is the hardest part about it, you have to look at what is the other team trying to do. One thing that people, and this is, I wrote about this extensively in the mailbag on Mass Live, so you got to go read that for the full thing. But basically, one of the things that people love to do is find a way to get your favorite team a lot of help without giving up too much. And you find just enough plausibility to be like, well, no, they get this and they get that. And what ends up happening is you tend to overvalue what is being sent out and undervalue what's being sent in, because you say, oh, no, they're only giving up blah, blah, blah. And but they're getting Gordon Hayward. Meanwhile, if you have that, like, no, look, you're getting Gordon Hayward. If you have that attitude, then you should want to keep Gordon Hayward. So in constructing this, what does the other team want? What do the Indiana Pacers want? Okay, maybe they do want Gordon Hayward. Are they going to give up TJ Warren, who has been good and who has shown that he can carry that team? We saw what he just did in the bubble, and he's only making $11.7 million this upcoming season and $12.7 in the following season. Why would they trade that? Why would they trade him? He's making great money. He's making less than Marcus Smart. You want to keep that. You want to sell the Celtics on somebody else. If you're trading this offseason for Gordon Hayward, you want to sell them on Miles Turner so you can clear some space for Sabonis to work. You want to sell them on the promise of Victor Oladipo getting healthy again and being a younger star that can play in that backcourt. You want to sell the Celtics on somebody else, not your cheap, good player. So, and I understand, like, this is, people are trying to execute certain things, and you want what's best for the Boston Celtics, which makes you tend to overlook things that the other team would want. Don't do that. Don't do that. If you really want to come up with trades that work, put yourself in the other team's shoes. Look at it from the other team's perspective. What are they trying to do? What do they want? Are they a playoff team that has faltered like Indiana has? Are they a team that's maybe trying to rebuild? Are they a team that's trying to retool? They fired their coach. They've got a new coach. They are trying to retool a little bit. Is that deal, giving up TJ Warren, a cheap player that can score, that can play like he does, is that a good idea for a team like that? I don't think so. So I love the ideas. I love the fake trades. But my goal here is, I shouldn't even say I love the fake trades. I don't love the fake trades. It's actually my least favorite part about everything. But I get it. So you want to send them to me? Fine. But what I want you to do is come up with something that maybe, from the other team's perspective, works. It's got to work for both teams. I'm going to come back in a moment, and I'm going to save a marriage. That's next. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. Segment 3 here is personal questions, and I do love these. And the Celtics mailbag is obviously Celtics centered, but it can be NBA centered. You can ask me non-Celtics questions. You can ask me personal questions, like Seth, who is listening from Southampton, England. Welcome aboard. Love it. I hope you listened to the show with Philip O'Connor talking about international listeners. But he says, hey, listens to the podcast for 2 years. So thanks for listening, Seth. He says, what's your favorite moment from the TD Garden? And what is your favorite Celtics jersey that you own? I'll go backwards. So, being a beat writer, I kind of have to put my Celtics fandom. I grew up in Rhode Island. I grew up on Larry Bird and Kevin McHale. And obviously, I grew up a Celtics fan. I was RedsArmy.com. for, you know, since 2006. So it's obvious that I've been a Celtics fan. I do have to put that aside when I'm covering the team and writing about the team, because I'm honestly trying to cover the team objectively. I'm not sitting there rooting when they win. I'm not celebrating when they lose. I'm not, you know, devastated. You know, I in post-game podcasts, I do convey that tone because I am talking directly to you Celtics fans out there, and I want to match your energy, okay? But I'm not sitting here crying over losses or celebrating over wins because I can't. That's not my job anymore. My job is to be as objective as possible. So you, who gets to be emotional and green team, green goggles, all of that stuff, I get to give you real information. And so you, my goal is so you can look at the team and look at what's happening, maybe understand something you didn't notice before, or understand something you didn't realize about team building, or I just want to give you information. Like, obviously I want the team to succeed because I'm around them all the time. And I've said this before on the podcast, no matter what team in the league I'd be covering, if for some reason I ended up covering a different team in the league, ultimately I'd want that team to succeed because I'm around those guys, and you build relationships with guys, and you want them to do well. So my Celtics fandom has really changed, and a lot of it's gone by the wayside. So I don't walk around in jerseys anymore. I don't walk around in Celtics gear anymore. But I do own a few Celtics jerseys, and they're all historical. So my three favorite jerseys, I have a John Havlicek replica jersey, I have a Bob Cousy replica jersey, and I have a Bill Russell replica San Francisco Dons college jersey. Those, I think, anybody would want to wear because they're legends. My favorite moment in the TD Garden is not a moment during the game. It's not a moment that involves basketball other than the building itself. My favorite moment in the TD Garden is always, and without a doubt, and nothing even comes close, when it's not a Bruins game afterwards and they leave the court on the floor. The Celtics share the building with the Boston Bruins. And if there's a Bruins game the next day, they have to tear the building apart, basically put the basketball floor away and put, you know, reveal the ice and set up for a hockey game. But when the Celtics have like a homestand and the Bruins on the road and they get to leave the court on the floor there, when I'm done and it's like 1:30, 2 in the morning, whatever time it is, I get to walk out. The lights are dim. It's not that game lighting. And I get to walk out onto the floor. And there might be a couple of cleaning people in the stands, but generally the building is empty. That moment is easily my favorite moment. It's just standing there, knowing that a few hours prior, there was an NBA basketball game. And I'll stand on the floor and say, hey, a few hours ago, Jason Tatum hit this shot from right here. A few hours ago, this other player made this play. And I look up in the stands and say, wow, you know, 19,000 people were screaming. They built this building so they could pack 19,000 people in here so they can cheer for a basketball game, a game that I've played since I was a kid. And I think about all of the games that I've played and being on a court that's the same size as the court that I'm standing on, but just how regal this court is. That's my favorite moment. And frankly, I have that moment whenever I'm in any NBA arena. And I have the opportunity to step out onto the floor and look at that empty arena. I wrote about it. If you want to Google it, it's an ode to an empty arena. It is my absolute single most favorite place to be. That's my favorite moment in the TD Garden. Okay. Finally, this comes from Luke. It's long, but I want to read it. I'm going to read it dramatically, I suppose, and test my dramatic reading chops, my voice acting skills, if you will. My name is Luke, and I'm a regular listener. My partner, Justina, listens to a bunch of Celtics and Hoops podcasts, but we listen to every Locked On Celtics episode together because we are in agreement. It's the best. Side note, thank you. We love your vibe, the scope of knowledge, the experience you bring to the table. It's a joy to get our Celtics news updates and analysis from you, sir. Thank you. Now, let's say there's a bit of marital tension building in our household because my wife and myself, we currently have different levels of enthusiasm about Carson Edwards. I say, he is going to be so good sooner than later. It could be this year. But my wife says, he needs to play a lot to be good. No space in the roster for that to happen, so he could slash should be traded if he's not currently delivering on the promise of great three-point scoring. Full disclosure, my wife is usually right, not only about Celtics, but most things of any importance in life. Can you please take a side in this ongoing debate and share your take on this pressing matter? What does the future hold for Edwards, and is he the right fit this coming year? Luke, I'm going to tell you straight up, the streak continues for Justina. She's 100% on the money, and you are probably wrong. And Carson Edwards, she must be, you know, seeing the same things that I'm seeing because we are in 100% agreement. He needs to play right now. The way he played, he needs to play in order to shoot himself into a rhythm. And part of why he was so good in summer league is because he knew he was going to play. He got a ton of the minutes. Some of his big performances, they came in spurts. There was the preseason game last season, which was like a year ago, more than a year ago at this point, where he had a crappy first half, but then he came out in the second half and was balling, just banging threes. That's what Carson Edwards is right now. He is just shoot, 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 and then catch fire. It's like if you've ever watched somebody use like one of those flints to try to start a campfire, and it's kind of dull, maybe you're not getting all the sparks, and you just go strike, you strike, you strike, you see the sparks, it's not catching, it's not catching. Sometimes you have to, maybe sometimes it catches right away, but then sometimes it takes like 10, 11, 15 time. And like on the 16th try, you finally catch fire. That's Carson Edwards. So he does need to play a lot to be good. And there is no space on the roster for that to happen. So he probably should be traded because unless he comes out of this offseason having developed the ability to get hot right away. I keep thinking of Vinnie Johnson, the microwave from the 1980s Detroit Pistons. They called him the microwave because no matter what, you could insert him and he got hot fast. That's the best nickname you could have, the microwave, because you got hot so fast. That's what he needs to be. But if he's not going to be a microwave, then he needs to find a way onto a team, NBA or otherwise, internationally, somewhere else where he can get the minutes that he needs to be effective. He does need minutes to be effective. So I will say, Justina, you're 100% correct. Take this moment. I will pause for you to turn, look at Luke, and say, in your face! I am very excited that Luke and Justina can listen to the podcast together. I hope that you are you're based in London, so more international listeners. I hope that wherever you're listening, in the car, in the house, I will say this. The good news, Luke, is that you're used to this happening. So it's not a surprise that she was correct. I feel like by the way you phrased this question, you kind of knew she was right. And this was a more hopeful question than a question where you felt like you knew, yeah, yes, I know Carson is coming. He's this the guy. I'm not putting it as beyond him. I'm not saying he sucks. He just right now, he just needs to play a lot. He's got something he needs to work on. He was a rookie, a second round pick. So he can find it. He just needs a little time. So is that time with Boston or is that time with somebody else? Situation might not be right in Boston. So, but Luke and Justina, you know, the fact that you guys are listening together, this is the second couple that is listening. This is amazing to me because in the first question of the podcast with Emil talking about his wife and, you know, he and his wife are listening on drives and you get to like the way I present this podcast, you get to talk and go back and forth and sort of banter with me. I love that. This is like the most amazing thing. The best compliment I could get is a couple listening together to this podcast. This is like awesome. That's awesome. I'm glad that this podcast is something that people can enjoy together or whatever, that men and women can enjoy, that everybody can enjoy. That's the beauty. That's what I love about basketball. That's what I love about sports. It's for everybody. It really is. It's for everybody. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is why I do this podcast. This is why even on a day where I'm like, I don't want to do this podcast. And I look at these questions. I'm like, all right, this is actually gonna be fun. You give me the energy to do this and that you appreciate and that you like what I do. That's such a huge bonus. That's so awesome for me. So if you're a new listener and you're checking this out for the first time, it's a great time to subscribe. There's a subscribe button probably where you found the podcast. You can follow on Spotify. Please do that. You'll get this show Monday through Friday delivered straight to your device. If you've got a smart device, you can ask it to play the latest episode of Locked On Celtics. You can also subscribe to Locked On NBA. I host the Locked On NBA podcast. I do that on Wednesdays, so subscribe to Locked On NBA as well. Any of these other teams that you're asking me about, when I tell you to see things from their perspective, go to Locked On Pacers. In fact, next week, I'm going to do a crossover episode with Locked On Pacers to talk about some of this exact stuff. So next week, make sure you're checking out that because we're going to do it on Locked On Celtics and Locked On Pacers to really break down some of the things that they're going to be looking for. So when you send me another fake trade, you have a better idea. So if you're trying to come at this from another team's perspective, there's a Locked On podcast for that other team. Give their shows a listen so you can know what they're looking for. Because they, like me, have a good grasp on what that team is really looking for. So you regular listeners, please do that. Please give this podcast a 5-star rating, a good written review, and share the podcast. Tell your friends that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.